Hi, just so you know, I'm recording this talk so that I can put it on the website for anyone who wasn't able to be here today. I'll turn it off again when we get back to CDE's portion of the meeting. But thank you again so much for being here. Congratulations on being invited back to apply in the full application phase of the Nature Neighborhoods Restoration and Community Stewardship Grants. Always is a competitive grant cycle, so it really is something that you are here today. So thank you. I'm going to go over some of the basics of the program today, just really walk you through what the full application is, and then Gladys is going to help you later in the afternoon to really do a workshop on how to apply what you learned this morning to any of your partnerships, but in particular partnerships in thinking about the full application phase of the Nature Neighborhoods Restoration Grants. So again, I'm Krista Gardner. I'm the grants coordinator for the Nature Neighborhoods Grants, and with me is Cassie Salinas, who is our organizational impact program manager in our diversity, equity, and inclusion team, and she'll talk a little bit more about the diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy here at Metro. So we are here thanks to voters. It's always a good reminder that the funding for this grant program, as many of our grant programs at Metro, comes from taxpayer dollars, and so many of our proposals to make things more transparent and to include the greater variety of policies are because these were voted on by the taxpayers. So we're this grant program in particular is funded through a five-year natural areas levy that was passed in 2016, and it funds this grant program from 2018 to 2023. And then we'll see what happens after that. So racial equity, diversity, and inclusion is a continued emphasis in the policy direction of the Metro Council and in the levy language. So with the original 2013 levy resolution, there was language in there about access and connecting to nature, especially for underrepresented communities. In 2016, Metro passed its DEI strategy, which Cassie will talk a little bit about. And currently, Metro Parks and Nature Department is finalizing the action plan that goes along with that DEI strategy.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me today, and thank you all for being here. This is a great step in your journey of learning. And my name is Cassie Salinas. I work in our diversity, equity, and inclusion team here at Metro. Pretty excited. Sorry, where should I move? Where's a good spot to be? I'm pretty excited that I was a part of this journey. In fact, I started my time in Parks and Nature years ago. And when I think about where we were as an agency then and where we are today, I felt like we've made some good steps forward, but we still have more work to do. And by each of you being here, it is a part of how do we advance our work in the region to really advance racial equity. And I do want to say that community has been such a big part of the work that we've been doing and how we've actually been thinking about how we lead with racial equity. So it's through community engagement, and also through their ability to hold us accountable is really critical to how we're planning to advance the work. I'm just going to quickly go through some of the core elements within our strategic plan. I'd just be curious to get a show of hands. Who has seen the strategic plan to advance racial equity? Maybe perhaps read through some of the 60, 70 plus pages? Okay. Well, make me a good resource for us to share with the group, just so you can see. And what I'll do is kind of highlight some of the elements. But as I mentioned, community has been a big part of how we design the plan. They help us identify five core goals. And we are in year three of a five-year plan. So when we talk about diversity, equity, inclusion in our agency, and as Krista mentioned, our council adopted this policy in 2016, which means we are leading the charge in a lot of work, particularly as it relates to convening and supporting our regional partners to advance racial equity. We do trainings like this
a lot of times for our partners and for other community members. We hold a series that we'll be doing in May with Scott Wynn, who's a great trainer around racial equity. We have invited a lot of our either potential partners, grantees, and just jurisdictional partners in this work too, because we realize we have more to share in this learning. Goal B within the plan identifies that we need to think about how do we better engage more thoughtfully and meaningfully our communities of color. And we do that through a lot of different elements. One of the things that we've been doing more at here at Metro is thinking about partnerships. How do we compensate community-based organizations for their time and effort to help us engage their own groups? We've been thinking about the time and day of where we would hold a public meeting, potentially looking at having daycare or childcare as a way to remove barriers for communities to participate. And there's just a lot of great work that I know Parks and Nature and also a lot of our other departments and divisions of what Metro does is starting to think more about it. Goal C is actually an area that I do a lot of work in my role on the Diverse Equity and Inclusion team. We are thinking about how do we recruit, retain, and ensure that we have more individuals who reflect the region, the demographics of the region. So we do a lot of work around thinking about removing barriers in the hiring process. One example that we did was removing, it's called Ban the Box. So when you apply for a job here at Metro, if you do have a criminal background or a criminal record, we don't ask for you to disclose that when you apply for a job. But we do, if further along the candidate makes it through, we have those conversations on a case-by-case basis versus excluding, particularly which we know communities of color have a higher rate of incarceration rates, so we don't actually set up a barrier at the beginning of our hiring process. And I think which kind of blends into goal D a little bit too, is that we're really thinking about how to create more of a safer space for staff of color and other communities that come from historically marginalized communities. We really are building a group of, I would say, a kind of a groundswell, a more inclusive culture here at Metro. And as you may know, Metro operates the Oregon Convention Center, the Expo Center, the Oregon Zoo, the region's waste and trash, as well as our 17,000 acres and growing of parks and natural spaces. So we are really thinking about how do we create more of a inviting space and a more inviting climate, not only for the employees who work here, which we have more than 1,600 employees that make up the individuals of our staff, but also how are people experiencing the programs and services that we offer. So things from interpretation services or creating more wayfinding signage at our parks or at the Oregon Zoo that are in more symbols versus language to attract more people and help have them navigate spaces as a part of this work. And goal E, it's a lot about how we think about contracting and procurement. Metro issues out a lot of grants, contracts, procurement dollars, and so how are we thinking about where those dollars go and how are they invested in certain communities? So those are really kind of the five high-level goals that our strategic plan is starting to look at. Like I said, we're in year three. We're making progress towards all goal areas, but we're doing this in partnership with communities. So we have an advisory group called the Committee on Racial Equity that's made up of representation from across the region of leaders, emerging leaders, who are really paying close attention to say, where are we making and taking action on the items that we've identified? And a part of all of this is that we know because Metro's lines of business are so unique and so different that we really wanted to rely on the expertise of each of the departments and programs. So what Krista kind of alluded to is that Parks and Nature is really close to, in fact, I think I've seen a signed document with Martha and John Glasher's and Rahi's signature on it, that the plan, which is very specific to Parks and Nature, so they have their own racial equity action plan. The Oregon Zoo is also wrapping up theirs, and the planning and development team, as well as Property and Environmental Services, which is our garbage and trash arm, all have completed their own racial equity specific action plans, very unique to their line of business, and will be beginning implementation in work this year. So again, we really believe that it's a journey of learning about this work. I'm so excited that you get to kind of dig in deeper. I've heard so many good things about this training. I have not personally gone through this, but I know a lot of our staff have been personally impacted through the good work that your organization does. So thank you for taking the time to be here in space with us. And I would just welcome you to take a look at the strategic plan to advance racial equity, diversity, and inclusion that's available online. I'm also happy to talk with any of you all about how we actually started our program within our own organization. There's not just me, there's six other individuals who think about this work every single day, but really, quite frankly, we're really seeing more of our champions. We've got champions at all levels of our organization, and it's also going to take partners like you. So thank you for the time to kind of let me tell you a little bit more about the plan.
The executive summary of the plan that Cassie is talking about is on the front table, so I'll bring it in after we're done with this quick presentation. So as Cassie mentioned, Parks and Nature is almost done with our action plan. John Lesher, who said the welcome this morning, is the director of Parks and Nature, and he'll be coming out with a video to go along with explaining this Parks and Nature action plan. So that's getting finalized right now. It should be on our website by the end of this week. But there are certain action items in this action plan that are directly related to grants. So I just wanted to point out a couple of those examples. So this is our desired outcomes, and this should look really familiar to you because some of this language is language that we co-opted for our goals for the Nature and Neighborhoods Restoration Grants. Specifically for the restoration grants, it's environmental equity and economic equity. If you also applied for our Nature and Neighborhoods Nature Education Grants, we actually use this as the framework for the entire grant goals. So the economic equity, environmental equity, and cultural equity. It is important enough to our department and to Metro and to Metro Council that we thought it was worthwhile to bring it directly into this language directly into the grant program. In terms of the actual actions, so if you see here, we have the racial equity strategy goals. So that's the document that Cassie was just talking about. The department action plan objectives, so that's Parks and Nature, and then some of the equity outcomes that are meant to be addressed using both those goals and those objectives. So trying to kind of mirror all of those plans, bring all of those plans together in one quick page. But a couple of the things that I wanted to mention in terms of grants, A1 is contribute to increasing diversity of people and perspectives in the conservation movement, and a grant related program action is to create or support opportunities for Parks and Nature's grantees and partners to share practices, build capacity, and explore issues or solutions collectively. So that's like this workshop today, that's what we're trying to do. So we're already implementing an action plan that has not even been published yet on our website. And then I would also just mention B2 here, which is meaningfully engage communities of color in policy and investment decisions. That's also a component of what we're trying to do in this grant program, especially through prioritizing funding focused on projects important to communities of color. So you saw that throughout our grant program goals and objectives. And then finally, in terms of the other goals listed in that action plan, in particular E2, which is remove barriers for people of color in contracting and grant programs, like Cassie said, that's one of the overall objectives of the DEI strategy. And it's also something that we've adopted into the grant program as well. So looking at improving accessibility for Parks and Nature, expanding the outreach, and using racial equity tools, reviews, and updates to prioritize funding. So those are all things that we're doing in our grant program that directly affect the grant's purpose, goals, and the application materials that you see in front of you. So on that note, just as a reminder, I'm sure you all know this through submitting your pre-application, but the purpose of these goals is to support and create partnerships in local communities that improve water quality, fish, and wildlife habitat, and connect people with nature. And in that, we really have three goals. So the first goal really focuses on the fish and wildlife and habitat, the second on community partnerships, and the third on economic and environmental equity. Like I said, that kind of echoes back to the DEI strategy and the DEI action plan. You all will be familiar maybe with some of these concepts, but a lot of you in your pre-application demonstrated how your project would preserve and restore fish and wildlife habitat in your local communities or nature in your neighborhood, and also support larger conservation strategies like the Regional Conservation Strategy or the Oregon Conservation Strategy or local watershed council plans or other plans of your organization. In terms of community partnerships, you all demonstrated in your pre-applications how you're able to respond to community needs and increase people's awareness of and to learn about, help restore, experience, and connect to nature. And lastly, some of your projects also included a component of mentorship or internships or working with COBID firms or MWESB firms, so those firms that are run by women. I always get these acronyms messed up, but those that are run by women, emerging small business, or other diverse leadership. And also communities, focusing on communities of color and other historically marginalized groups. So thank you for all of the work that you've already put into putting together your pre-application and the narrative that really explains the need for and the enthusiasm behind this particular project. I'm going to go over now just some really basic things about the full application process, and then we'll jump back into Gladys's part, which is really applying what you've learned in the morning to this full application phase. So just as a reminder, our timeline is our workshop today, April 9th. The final applications are due. Again, that's a 4 p.m. deadline. The application is actually open until midnight. We just say 4 p.m. because we're actually at our desks at 4 p.m. And so we can help you if you have the Tuesday. So if you have any electronic or digital problems at the last minute, we're able to help you. In June, the grant awards would be announced, and July, the grant funds would be available. So Metro Council is the final decision maker for these grants. Our review committee is a peer review, and they make recommendations on which groups should receive funding, and that is then given to the Metro Council, which is the final decision maker. Your full application is your pre-application, your making the case or your narrative document, plus a detailed budget, a detailed scope of work, a detailed evaluation or assessment report, your letters of support from partners, as well as your 501c3 kind of technical information, your IRS letter or tax exempt status paragraph that tells us that you do have that tax exemption, and then if you need it, the property permission. And all of this information is also in our handbook, which I will pass out in a moment. It's also out on our front table. Yep, a nice right here. Like I said, this is a peer review process. The people who are on our peer review are volunteering their time to review your applications. Often they're doing it in the evenings and on the weekends. So we're really thankful to have a great group of people participating in that peer review. They are looking at your application through the same evaluation lens, which is looking at your project narrative, goals, partnerships, organizational preparedness, diversity, equity, and inclusion, And then, of course, the location, since we are a metro-wide grant program that does benefit from taxpayer dollars from around the region, we do try and spread that money around around the region as well. So when you are applying for the full application, you can actually get to the application materials on our website in that little gray box. So right now it says on the screen it says pre-applications, but the full application link is going to be in the same location. And you would press on that. It would take you to this program. And this is where things get just slightly tricky, because we are using Zoom Grants, which is a grant application software that is standard. We are doing things slightly differently than how it's designed. And so we basically have reopened your application. So rather than going here and pushing apply, you actually go up to the very top where the red circle is, and you log in the top corner. Does that make sense? So you're just reopening your previous application. So once you get into your previous application, you'll go to submit it because you've already submitted this application, and you will press there to get to the actual application material. So as you can see on this page, there are a couple of things. There's the program summary and the pre-application questions. You all have already completed that material, so you do not need to do anything different there. If you need to change something, please mark it with like a big, bold, new information so that people know. Because the review committee will not necessarily go to the pre-application questions and program summary to re-evaluate something that they evaluated during the first phase. The first tab is budget, and then scope of work, and then document uploads. So budget is fairly straightforward. We're asking you to tell us about the grant funds requested. This grant does require a one-to-one match, so asking you to detail out the match dollars, and then it auto-calculates a total dollar amount. We've put in some basic item descriptions here. You can change these if these don't match your grant program, but these are generally the line items that we see in grant proposals. Scope of work, we'll go over this a little bit more in our conversation with Gladys, but scope of work is also fairly basic scope of work, the way it's outlined in this. It's really a schedule, what are your activities, and who is responsible for those, either the organization or the person, both from the primary applicant as well as for any of your partners who might be involved. So a fairly straightforward scope of work and fairly open-ended. And then the second piece of that same page under scope of work is goal setting. So either your evaluation or your assessment. And we'll again go over this a little bit more with Gladys. But this is a very basic chart for just writing down what goals you have. So setting goals, what are your goals? Assessing your goals is your methods. And then setting your measures. So how will you know that you've been successful in reaching your goal? Like I said, we'll go over this a little bit more. And if you are in your full application handbook, there are some examples of measures and methods and goals that we've outlined there for you. It's in the latter half on page 14 and 15. If you wanted to take a look at it. And then the final piece of the full application is uploads of other information. So this is where we ask you to upload your letters of support from partners. So that is the only piece in this list. That's the only piece that is required that you haven't already submitted as part of the pre-application. The other two pieces that are required are the location map and the demographic form, and you you all have submitted those already as part of your pre-application. We ask for three letters of support, and you just upload them here. You can provide us with more if you have them, but again, we'll go over with Gladys a little bit more some strategies for letters of support. And then finally, you know, the other kind of detailed stuff, if you are using someone else's property, letter of permission to use that property. If you have 501c3 status, your IRS letter or a paragraph with a signature from the executive director telling us that yes, you do have it. And then also the opportunity, if you would like to provide any additional photos or materials that would help explain your project, you are given the opportunity here to upload that information as well. So that's just like a real quick review of the actual full application. Like I said, that's all in your full application handbook that you have in front of you with the detailed instructions. We know it's any application is a lot of work, and we're continually working to simplify things, so hopefully the format that we're using here is flexible enough that you can adapt it to your project. Just wanted to point this out, that when you finally get to submit your project, because technically you have already submitted your project, again, going back to our different way of using this set system through Zoom Grants, there is no submit button. This can be very frustrating. So maybe mark this in red and bold on your paper that that you will not be hitting the submit button after the time expires at midnight. You will have submitted your grant.
So where should we submit? Where is the submit button?
Good question. I'm happy to take any questions today, and I'm happy to have a phone conversation with you or answer questions over email over the next month. So this is my email address, and then our manager is Juan Carlos, and so he was not able to be here today, but you can also ask him questions. And that's it.
That's all I have.
Yeah. So the narrative is considered your pre-application. If you have changed things in the way you want to do your project and you feel the need to change what you submitted in the pre-application, our review committee will not know that you have changed anything unless you mark it. So my suggestion would be to just... My suggestion would literally be to just write... In your pre-application, because otherwise our review committee members won't know that you've changed it. Yeah.
How and when will we be receiving feedback from our pre-applications?
Great question. My intent was to have it for you today. I apologize. I wasn't able to get it done by today. So by midweek.
Should be like an email.
Yeah, so I generally prepare a feedback letter, so where I summarize what the review committee has said about your particular pre-application, and so I will send that both by Zoom Grants and by email, and then also I will put a copy in the mail as well. Yeah, great question. Yeah.
Is the budget narrative part?
Yes, the budget narrative is part of the budget form. So the budget form is kind of your basic dollar amounts, and then the budget narrative is to explain the details. So, for example, a lot of people use it if they put staff and they say, hey, we're going to spend $200 on staff. In the budget narrative, they say our coordinator will be $50, our assistant will be $25, our executive director will be $150. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah?
One of my partners is an adult community that has disabilities. I didn't see that in any of the diversity documentation. Does that have any weight now?
I think you should definitely include it. I think that it will have weight with the review committee. Yeah. Other questions? So as questions come up through the rest of the afternoon, I'm happy to answer them, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Gladys to jump back into how we can apply what we learned this morning to future endeavors.
Great. Well, thank you, Crystal, and congrats on being advanced to the next level. That's exciting. being a grant writer for a nonprofit, like this part right here is like a huge. So like, go off and celebrate the next thing. So I just wanted to celebrate that for y'all. So as we transition back into building relationships, I wanted to provide an opportunity for us to summarize what the morning was. Maybe some folks that weren't able to be here this morning. Just to help you help jog your memory of what we did. You can also use your PowerPoint packet, but.